Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Ken. Hey, go get that cup of coffee, go get that virtual donut, pull up a chair, kick off your shoes, and stay a while, because I'm really glad you're here. So if you haven't heard last week's podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to last week's podcast where we talked about who was Jesus or who did Jesus claim to be. So that kind of leads us to today's show, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about Jesus, but what did Jesus have to say about sin? And what's spurring on this conversation or this podcast episode is I've heard a lot of people through social media and even locally, local pastors and different people saying that, you know, I like Jesus, but I don't like Christianity or his people. I like Jesus, but I don't like his people. I don't like those Christians. I like Jesus, but I don't like how the Western culture has represented Jesus or the scriptures. So that's kind of spurred on this show where there's this whole new movement of a rejection of anything westernized when it has to come to the Bible or a Western view of the Bible, which granted, there's been some things that the Western church has done, slavery being one of them, that has been, you know, of course, sinful. But I have to say that I think that for the most part, what people are saying about, oh, I love Jesus, or I care a lot about Jesus, but I don't like what his people have to say about it. I don't like how man has influenced the Bible. But I say, if you really understand Scripture, unless you hold a very low view of Scripture, you can't love Jesus and not love his people or his word that was inspired, the inspired, inerrant word of God. They kind of go together. They really do. The Bible teaches that all Scripture is profitable. So, you know, last week we kind of went down, who did Jesus claim to be? And we kind of saw that he claimed to be God. He claimed to be the great I am that I am. So that being said, I think we've kind of established who Jesus said he was. So for those who say, hey, I like Jesus, but I just don't like the teaching of white Christianity. I don't like the teaching of the apostles. We're going to explore a little bit on what Jesus had to say about sin. Because in today's culture, in the woke culture and the pride culture, a lot is being said about the rejection of Scripture. So let's just take a little bit of time about what Jesus said in Scripture himself. Okay? But before we do that, let's take a real quick break and I'll be right back. Okay, we are back. And I'm going to move through these scriptures somewhat quickly. So go get your crayons and your paper or your chalk and go outside on the on your driveway and take notes. So here we go. We're going to start off at Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17. And here we find Jesus being tempted by Satan. So Satan has Jesus on a high, tall mountain and looking over all the land of Israel. And so Satan is trying to attempt Jesus. Of course, Jesus denies Satan's request to fall down and worship him. And, you know, but many of us kind of gloss over what he did immediately after this. So after Jesus, you know, denies worshiping Satan, here's what Scripture records of what Jesus did after being after denying Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom has come near." Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." For the kingdom of heaven has come near. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. So that's the first thing Jesus does after being tempted by Satan. He began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." See, a lot of people say, "Hey, I like Jesus. I just don't like you Bible believing, you know, Bible thumpers out there preaching repentance." You know, and sadly, even in today's church, you don't hear a lot about repentance. Not my church. My church is awesome. But I'm just generally speaking, you don't hear a lot about repent. No, instead, unfortunately, what you hear in today's churches is Jesus loves you. He wants to give you a great life. He wants to give you your best life now. He wants to bring justice to you. He wants to make life grand and give you the best job and just solve all your problems. You might even get a nice car out of it. Unfortunately, that's kind of the message that's being taught in today's churches. There's an awful lot of good churches out there, though, but we've taken the focus off of repentance. You know, I don't know if do we even work that into our salvation message? Or do we just say, "Hey, if you want to get saved, say, Jesus, save me. I love you." That's it. But what did Jesus say? He says, "Repent." And repent means to turn and do a 180 and go in the opposite direction. Repentance means seeking God for forgiveness and turning from your wicked ways and going the opposite direction. That's what repentance means. So for those of you out there says that, "Oh, I just like the hippy-dippy Jesus where it's all peace, love, and romance, you know, or whatever." That's not the Jesus of the Bible. I'm sorry. It's really not. And he wasn't some woke social justice leader either. That's not who Jesus was. Let's move on. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. So we already learned Jesus talked about repenting. Here it is, Matthew chapter 5, 21, 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." read that once more. Matthew chapter 5, 21, 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So let me say this. Jesus came to complete the law, to finish the law. The law was there to show mankind that they cannot live perfection within the law. But Jesus kind of doubled down on the law in the sense of he emphasized parts of the law. Because the law says, you know, talks about murdering somebody. But he says, anyone who is angry, so it's not that you're just judging them, but or murdering them, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So Jesus is actually being even a little bit stronger than the law was to some extent. So even being angry with a brother is sinful. So guess what? Jesus talked about repentance and he talked about sinfulness. Ooh. So, okay. But Jesus didn't just focus on one sin. He mentions a whole bunch of sins. In Matthew 5:28, he goes on, he talks about such sins as calling somebody a fool, the sin of adultery, the sin of divorce, the sin of breaking an oath, the sin of wanting revenge, the sin of pride and greed and judging. You know, a lot of times we like to pick our sins, which ones we hate the most. But I wanted to look at pride of giving. He talks to preaching to his disciples and the crowd of people, talked about, you know, don't give like the Pharisees give. And make a big announcement how you've given alms to the poor, or even for that matter, praying out on the street corner, praying so loud that everybody knows that you must be a good person because you're giving to the poor and you're praying out loud. So that's pride. Jesus actually, calls these things sin, and this is just a few of them: divorce, breaking your oath, revenge, pride of giving, greed, and judging, and praying to be noticed. So Jesus, again, was all about repenting, and he talked about sin. See, a lot of us progressive Christians out there, and you woke Christians, yeah, you just want to care about just the lovey-dovey, Jesus's love. Love wins. all right, moving on. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I like getting myself in trouble. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus did believe in sin. Let's look at chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And here's the Pharisees are asking the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So the Pharisees are kind of getting on the disciples saying, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Excuse me while I cough. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And let me read that part again. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I like how Jesus kind of gives a smackdown sometimes. You know, sometimes we read through scripture a little bit too quickly. It's funny to pick up on these little things where here Jesus is kind of laying it down. He's giving a smackdown. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. Go. You're so dumb. Go learn what I'm talking about. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I'll read that again. I'm going to read the SmackDown part again. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So here we know that Jesus is assuming that the Pharisees, well, he knows, the Pharisees think that they're healthy. You know, because earlier on in the verse it says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. The Pharisees already think that they're healthy spiritually. But Jesus knows better. Jesus knows better. So he's saying, hey, I haven't come to you guys. You know, you guys think that you're healthy spiritually. But I've come after the sick. Well, guess what? The Pharisees were more sick than the sinful people. Because they're all sinful. Especially the Pharisees. So further down the verse, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus believed in what? Sinners. Jesus wasn't all about patting us on the back and saying, it's all right, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep sinning. It's okay. You can justify your sin. Sin's not that bad. You know, just don't worry about it. Just keep sinning. No, he came there because he knew the sinners were sick too. The sinners were sick. They were sick and in need of the doctor. And Christ is saying, hey, I haven't come to those of you who think you're perfect. I've come to those who know they're sick. So he's come for the sinners. Yes, Jesus believed in sin. And I also, you know, if you go back, let's go back up again. So the Pharisees are asking disciples why Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So that's kind of a reference to the Old Testament, where in the Old Testament, sin, God looked at sin, and God hated sin so much that he demanded payment for the sin. Sin could not go unpunished. Sin has to be dealt with. Even in the Old Testament, sin had to be dealt with. And God developed a plan of sacrifice through the priest where the people would bring their animals to be sacrificed and for forgiveness of sin. And the priest would go and spill the blood of the animal for the sins of the nation. Blood, cut open guts, blood and gore from an animal, an animal being sacrificed. You know what? I almost hit a deer on my road the other day. I live in the city, but there's a deer crossing the road. I came very close to hitting it. I would have freaked out if I would hit that deer because I don't like killing things. I'm not a killer. I mean, people who hunt, that's fine. I appreciate you hunters out there because that's what gets meat on my tables. So I appreciate those who hunt, but I could not make an animal bleed. I can't. But in the Old Testament, that's what they had to do in order to get their sins forgiven or covered over. So God takes sin seriously. But Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 9, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus is bringing mercy into the equation here. So Jesus still knows it's going to take blood, but it's going to take his blood. He's going to be the perfect sacrifice because he's the only one that could live the perfect life. So what have we learned so far? Jesus calls people to repent. Jesus believed in sin, both in the Old Testament and New Testament. And let's jump over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 21. And I didn't have time to look up the names of these two cities and how to pronounce them correctly. I'll do the best I can. You guys can laugh at me later. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So he's warning these two cities. He's saying, woe to you in Chorazin and woe to you in Bethesda, for if the miracles that were performed in you, that he performed, if the same miracles were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. So Jesus was doing miracles, and these people were seeing these miracles, and they weren't repenting. And Jesus references two Old Testament pagan cities, Tyre and Sidon. They were Baal worshipers in those two cities in the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, if I would have done this, if they would have seen these same miracles, they would have repented a long time ago. And they were sacrificing babies on an altar and Baal worship. So Jesus, again, desires repentance. And I don't want to just keep repeating myself, but see, Jesus preached repentance. He just didn't preach, just accept everybody, be love and peaceful, and just, you know, everything's fine, you'll be okay, you know, just, no. Jesus recognized sin, and he sought people to repent. He told them to repent. I don't know how you water this down. See, too many times in today's world, there's too much talk about, well, you're looking through this with Western eyes. No, I mean, you could put any glasses on you want. I'm just reading straight from the Word of God, and the words aren't tricky on my page. They're not, words of great mystery. I mean, granted, they're the words of God, and I'll never know fully what God has to say. But the words are pretty simple enough here that I don't have any woke glasses on. I don't have any blind glasses on. I'm just reading the words. And it's pretty clear. There's no great mystery. There's no ambiguity. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. So Jesus is seeking repentance in the two New Testament cities, Chorazin and Bethesda. He's seeking those people to repent. Repent of what? Sin. All right, don't have too much time left, but I wanted to jump over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and probably starting at verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 46. And here, Jesus is talking about, you know, at the end of the age, the goats and the sheep. And he goes through in Matthew, read the whole chapter 25. That's your homework. You got homework this week. Read Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is going through about story of the least of these. He talks about if you saw someone naked, did you clothe them? If you saw somebody hungry, did you feed them? Did you see someone homeless? Did you take them in? So he's talking about, are you doing the good works to the people? Are you ministering to people? Are you doing the good deeds to the people? And of course, the disciples are a little confused. They're saying, "Well, Lord, when did we see you in prison and we didn't get you, you know, bring you any food, or when did we see you sick, and when did?" And he says, "When you did it to the least of these, or you didn't do it to the least of these." See, there's two type of people: those who did the works to the least of these, and those who didn't do. So either you did the works to the least of these, or you didn't do the works to the least of these. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 46. Here he, in this part, he's talking to the goats. So he's separating, Jesus separates the sheep and the goats. He puts the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. So the sheep are the ones that did take care of the homeless, the sick, the needy, the orphaned, visit those in prison. The goats are the ones who didn't do those things. And Jesus said, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. So at the end of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaking to the goats, the ones that did not take care of the needy. He says here, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So the goats, they will go to eternal punishment, but the sheep, the righteous ones, will go to eternal life. So Jesus believed in a great separation, in a great day of separation. Jesus, remember last week we talked about the shepherd, the gatekeeper, and Jesus is that gatekeeper. So Jesus is the one that gets to do this. We don't get to decide, but Jesus gets to decide who the goats are and who the sheep is. Sheep are. I'm glad it's not me, because I would get things confused sometimes. But Jesus, being the great shepherd, the gatekeeper, he's going to say, all right, for those that didn't take care of the needy, didn't visit the prisoner, didn't feed the homeless, the hungry, you're the goats. Goats, you will go to eternal punishment. Sheep, the ones that did the works that I told you to, yeah, you get to go to the right to eternal life. So so there's people out there, universalism, that preach universalism, that, you know what, we're all going to get saved. Jesus, God is so loving and kind. He's just gonna save us all. Yeah, love wins. Love wins. That's not what I'm finding here in Scripture. I'm finding that Christ wins, the great gatekeeper, the shepherd wins, and if we hear his voice, you know, last week we talked about my sheep know my voice. If we listen and we hear his voice, then we're the sheep. And he's going to welcome us in with open arms to eternal life. But for the sheep that don't belong to him, who try to get in another way, remember last week he told the Pharisees, you're trying to get in another way over the fence? For the sheep knows his sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. So, I mean, the shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep knows the voice of their shepherd. So you can't fool God. Jesus gets to decide who wins and who loses. He wishes that all would come to repentance. But we know in the end of days, that's not what that's not what's going to happen, what it's going to look like. There is going to be a great day of separation. So that kind of ends that right there. But hey, I want to remind you guys, again, last week we talked about who Jesus said he was, the great I am. This week we talked about the hard thing that Jesus says about repentance and believing in sin and a great day of separation. And again, I'm on this subject matter. We're going to probably do it the first quarter of the year. It's all leading up to later we're going to talk about the disciples. You know, Jesus spent three and a half years with his disciples that he handpicked. He handpicked his disciples. And once Jesus was died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, was seen by over, 400 people, and then ascended back to heaven. That was not a surprise to him. He had that all figured out. But guess what? The disciples that he spent 3.5 years with, he knew that they would be in charge of launching out the mighty church with the help of God, the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who say, you know what? I like Jesus. I don't love his Christians. I like Jesus, but I can't really believe what the Bible says. I like Jesus, but you know, those white men, Western philosophers and writers who wrote stuff in the Bible can't be trusted, and they're biased. And I don't love them. So we're gonna investigate that. Maybe next show. We'll see how it goes. But coming up, we're definitely going to be talking about the launching of the early church. So we'll see how this goes. Hey, but once again, thank you so much for stopping by. If you missed last week's show, go check that out and tell somebody about Mornings with Ken. And I don't know, I told you guys I'd take this show a little bit more seriously and not get myself in trouble by talking about other subject matters. I don't know if I can hold true to that because I got some other subject matters I want to talk about, but we'll see. We'll see how this show goes. So, all right, guys, you guys have a great week. I love you guys, and go to church on Sunday. Bye-bye now. Love you.